With the U.S. presidential election just 6 weeks away, tensions between America, Israel, and Iran, reflected in increasingly bellicose rhetoric, has escalated in recent days. In his speech before the U.N. General Assembly on September 25th, President Obama warned Iran that time was running out to find a negotiated way out of the long-running impasse over the West's charge that Tehran is covertly working to acquire the technology to build nuclear weapons. Iran has long maintained that their uranium enrichment program is designed solely for civilian energy purposes. Meanwhile, U.S. warships led joint naval exercises in the Persian Gulf, reflecting concern about Iran's threat to block the flow of oil from the region if Israel or the U.S. should launch attacks against its nuclear research facilities. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu added to tension in the region when in recent weeks he publicly demanded that Mr. Obama make clear where his administration would draw a red line on Iran's nuclear program that would trigger a U.S. military response. All this comes as Iran continues to charge that the U.S., Israel, and Britain are responsible for the assassination of 5 Iranian nuclear scientists and researchers over the last several years, and cyber attacks and sabotage targeting Iran's uranium enrichment facilities. More recently, the U.S. State Department's decision to remove the Iranian exile group MEK from its list of foreign terrorist organizations will surely be seen as another provocation by Tehran. Your reporter spoke with Jamal Abdi, policy director with the National Iranian American Council. He talks about the dangerous rise in tensions between Washington and Iran just weeks before the U.S. presidential election.
My biggest concern right now is not necessarily any one of these, you know, policies or tactics that are being carried out, but rather it's the totality of the trajectory, and that we have ratcheted things up so far that we're not actually going to be able to climb back. What we found, you know, really the core of the policy right now is one based on sanctions. It's sanctions in the center, sabotage on the side in order to delay Iran's nuclear program, and then some limited talks that we get to have every year or so that don't necessarily yield anything immediately, and so they're pretty quickly abandoned. And we had the latest round of talks just a few months ago. We had several rounds. You know, we had one in Baghdad, and then Moscow, and then Istanbul. And really what is most disconcerting about this, those talks, is that the Iranians actually came to the table with a deal. They actually put forward a willingness to comply with some of the demands the U.S. and the EU and the rest of the P5 plus one states had put on the table. The U.S. came to the table with 3 demands, and what they said was, we're offering sort of a menu of options for what they wanted the Iranians to do. And the Iranians came back and said they actually would end their 20% enrichment, which is the most provocative element of their program. That, you know, sort of the issue that is 6 inches from our face, the fact that they're enriching at this higher level. But in exchange, the Iranians wanted the U.S. to do something about the sanctions, not lift all the sanctions, but actually refrain from imposing sanctions that were just about to go online regarding the Central Bank of Iran. And instead of actually being willing to make that trade or have a sort of a quid pro quo in which, in exchange for the Iranians making concessions, we make concessions, we basically said no. We're not willing to ease the sanctions in any way in order for an Iranian concession. And that is really problematic, because if these sanctions are in place permanently, if they're not something that we can actually trade in exchange for Iranian concessions, then they're not leverage. They're stuck in place. And I think that's the problem with all these policies.
Jamal, do you fear that the United States could be drawn into a war by unilateral action by Israel? The rhetoric seems to be going in that direction, but it may just be rhetoric. It could just be a bluff trying to move the Obama administration into taking a more harsh stand against Iran. What are your thoughts about that?
You know, I tend to agree that this is actually a bluff intended to produce a policy in Washington and in Europe and among the other, you know, Russia and China, a policy that is more hawkish towards Iran, a policy that undermines any sort of real diplomacy. And I don't think that Israel would be stupid enough to strike on their own. If they did, it's my sense that Iran would probably not be stupid enough to actually retaliate against the United States, although according to several simulations that have been done, you know, war games that have been done, the Pentagon has found that in the event of a strike, the Iranians eventually either retaliate against the U.S. or take some sort of escalatory measure that they judge as not being a direct threat to the U.S. But because there's no communications, there's a problem of the two sides misjudging the reaction, and you end up in this spiraling conflict that becomes an all-out war. But, you know, if the Iranians were actually struck, I think that the first thing that happens is they have a pretext to leave the nonproliferation treaty, to eject IAEA inspectors, to actually go forward with a rapid breakout to try to build a nuclear weapon even potentially. They would probably go to the UN and have a lot of political support to undo some of the multilateral sanctions. They may even successfully undo the international coalition and, you know, coalition of the willing in terms of unilateral sanctions. And really, what you then have, you know, at best is an Iran that is even closer to having a nuclear weapon, or at worst, an Iran that is at war with the United States and, you know, a war that encompasses the entire region and just a total catastrophe. But I don't see any good options coming out of an Israeli strike, and I tend to think that the Israelis understand this.
Jamal, it seems U.S. public opinion is decisively against, you know, initiating a new war somewhere else in the world after we've been embroiled since 2001 in constant warfare in Afghanistan and Iraq, and then in many other nations in the Middle East and North Africa, where we're engaged in the war against terrorism. What should citizens be saying at this point, given that there's concern about what capability Iran might have in the future to acquire a nuclear weapon, but at the same time wanting at all costs to avoid another 10-year-long war?
Holding members of Congress and members of the Senate accountable when they do something that is clearly a, you know, cynical attempt to appease the pro-war lobby, you know, whether it's sanctions or like this thing that happened just on Friday, the Senate voted to actually adopt a red line, the red line for war that mirrors the red line that Netanyahu has taken to the American television stations in order to promote, which has been at the center of this spat between Netanyahu and the Obama administration. So when the Senate does something like that, you know, for constituents to voice their concern and say, look, this isn't helping anything, you know, you're the ones that are actually slowly dragging us into this potential military conflict. After the election, there's going to be a real need to get whoever wins the White House to actually pursue a policy towards a diplomatic solution and really reinvigorate this diplomatic track and be willing to make some of the concessions that are required in negotiations. And I think voters and constituents and, you know, Americans will have a big role to play in pushing that.
That was Jamal Abdi, Policy Director with the National Iranian American Council. Find more news and analysis on the danger of a new U.S. war against Iran on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.